come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. Delicious. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. Isn't the rain wonderful? It's still probably not going to be quite enough to make it not a drought year, but it sure is nice to see it coming down. I drove through Marin County this afternoon. Actually, I drove this morning and this afternoon, and it is Marin County that we're going to be talking about for most of the hour. Of course, I was on the 101 corridor, and that's really a lot of what people in Sonoma County know of Marin, is the 101 corridor. So we are going to explore the other parts of Marin, McNair Park, that whole area out on the east side, and then the farms, ranches, vineyards even, in the west side. The boundary between Sonoma and Marin is a geopolitical boundary. When counties are carved up, they're not carved up in a way that necessarily makes geographic sense. So if you take away that boundary, in fact, you might not even notice the county line when you pass from one to another. We're really just one very beautiful, verdant, fertile area in a lot of ways. We have a lot in common with our neighbors to the south. So we have with us this evening Helga Hellberg of Marin Organic. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
It's really
no
good.
Other place I would be right now.
Wow. I don't know if anyone's ever said that about Mouthful before. But before we go to our conversation about Marin, we're going to have Jason Perdue of the Sebastopol Documentary Film Festival, who is here on Mouthful and not watching the Academy Awards. I'm flattered by that. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And the festival is coming up, not next weekend, but the following weekend.
Following weekend, 6th, 7th, and 8th, right.
And there are several films that have to do with things we eat and drink, one of them being a favorite of Mouthful's, All in This Tea.
Yeah.
With David Hoffman of Forest Knowles. I'm sure it's Forest Knowles where David Hoffman lives.
I'm not sure, out in West Marin.
Yeah. And David has been on the show. He was here during the production of that movie. I believe he and Les Blank, who's appeared on Mouthful, oh gosh, at least three times, maybe four, they traveled to China either two or three times as David was looking for teas, particularly the tea for which he's passionate, Pu'er. So that's good. That's one of the food films.
It is one of the food films, and it's actually, there's a kind of a whole event actually planned around that, because Les is planning to come. And just to give credit, is also a co-director, Gina Librecht, helped assist with that, or was a co-director of that film also. But Les is going to be at that screening.
And excellent.
And we're also showing a short that was made by somebody in Santa Rosa about Les called Raw. It's only a 6-minute film, and it's him cooking dinner one night, and they just talk about things. And in it, he eats some oysters. He talks about eating oysters. So this is all taking place at the French Garden in Sebastopol, and they're actually going to be serving David Hoffman's tea and having an open oyster bar.
Yeah, that's going to be a really nice event. And when is that?
That is Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at French Garden. Tickets are for sale right now.
Do you know where the oysters were from?
I don't know that right now. I think
I bet we can guess, can't we? There's a really good chance they're going to be from Marin County.
Yeah. I hope those are Drake's Bay oysters. Actually.
Well, I know that the French Garden is very much, you know, they try to stay as local as they can, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be from there. So, yeah, that's going to be a nice event. I hadn't realized it was afternoon, but that's right. It's 2 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, so that's going to be definitely one of the highlights for me. I'm hoping to get up there. I'm going to be running around quite a bit during the festival, and some other people are managing that particular program, but I definitely want to get up there and get a little piece of the experience, for sure.
Yeah, and I hear I'm going to be involved as well.
I believe you are.
Yes, I think I'm hosting that. I mean, I guess I'm introducing the film and then doing a question and answer after the film.
Right, yeah.
So I'm such a longtime fan of Les Blank. I think he's really one of the brilliant documentary filmmakers. Who made Raw?
Raw is a woman named Shelley Roby. And actually, to be honest, I don't know that much about her. She has, I know she lives in Santa Rosa, and as a friend of Les's. And the film is shot in black and white. I think it's on film. And it's just a real short, personal film. Mm-hmm. It seems kind of like maybe it was a student project of some kind. Mm-hmm. But you really get a flavor of who Les is. In 6 minutes, you'd really learn a lot about a person that, if you've only seen his films, you might not know that much about. So,
yeah, he gives the camera off himself, that's for sure. And the other one, there's one about Alaska?
There is, Eating Alaska, which is by Ellen Frankenstein. And she is coming down from Alaska to join us in Sebastopol. And she's made a film, this is on opening night. And she's made a film about her travels, basically. She moved to Alaska several years ago in pursuit of making a documentary and ended up living there, meeting a man, and creating a life there. But the kind of the twist of it is that when she moved there, she was a vegetarian. And the person that she married was a commercial fisherman and hunter. And as she realized through living there that the idea of being a vegetarian and eating local was a near impossibility, where a place where you can't really grow vegetables, that the average Alaskan eats 1 pound of game a day on average. So she didn't know how to exist. And so the whole film is about her exploration into hunting, into commercial fishing, and into understanding what that whole world is about and living in a place like that. And
yeah,
it's
great. That should be really interesting. And then Food Fight. What is Food Fight about?
Food Fight is basically the story of the beginnings of the California food movement, the organic culture here in California, and specifically, you know, the movement that was started by Jeremiah Towers and Alice Waters and that whole time period. And, you know, the film is filled with those characters, the Wolfgang Puck, Michael Pollan, all the kind of big names in California food right now. And it's really a history of how that all evolved and also a history of the agricultural food business in the United States and why we are where we are, how it all happened, how food subsidies work and why they've created such a glut of grains and wheats and rices to the point where they have to fill the shelves with junk food just to use all this stuff, and how that's just created this cycle that we can't get out of now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great film.
How does one get tickets for the film festival?
You can go definitely to our website. And on our website, there's a link to Brown Paper Tickets. Brown Paper Tickets is a ticketing service. Uh-huh. And you can definitely search for Sebastopol. It's the first thing that comes up, and all the films are available there. Tickets have been on sale for a little over 2 weeks now. A few of the programs are already sold out. But, you know, other than that, I think there's tickets available for a lot of the programs. Okay. And definitely all the ones we've talked about.
And it takes place on which days?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. Mm-hmm. Opening night is going to be at 7 o'clock. Four films are showing in four different venues, and then an opening night reception at the Arts Center, food and wine, including the ticket price. Uh-huh.
So that you can't see all the films.
You cannot.
You have to choose.
Yes, we're other than the shorts and the jury award winners, we're not showing anything twice. Mm-hmm. So we got 44 films and we packed them into 3 days, and everybody got one screening.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Jason, so much. You know, I love this. I live in Sebastopol, and in fact, I can walk to French Garden. So that's just really nice to have something like this happening so close to my house. So thank you for doing it in Sebastopol. Thank you for taking time to come on Mouthful, and I will see you there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, it's Mardi Gras week, too. Do something. Don't let it slip by. If you're in Santa Rosa, just read somewhere, 5:30 Tuesday, Railroad Square, street band. Street band. And if they do it like they do it in New Orleans, it will be rain or shine. And it didn't say who the band, I don't think it said in the paper who the band was, but I'll tell you, on Halloween, went to McDonald Avenue, and it was raining, and there were millions of trick-or-treaters everywhere. And all of a sudden, hear this drum beat, and here comes this New Orleans-style street band. And they played. We ran into them several times. It was really, really wonderful. So if you can get out and do something fun for Mardi Gras, do it. Otherwise, cook something good. Cook up some red beans and rice, if nothing else, on Tuesday night. Okay, Helga, it's your turn. We're going to talk about Marin.
Hi.
Thank you for being patient.
Oh my God, no, it's a pleasure.
Marin Organic presents itself so beautifully throughout Marin County. When I was
Thank
doing
you.
the research, I mean, I've always spent time in Marin since I was a little girl, so it's, you know, it's one big place to me here. But when I was doing the research and really noticing and looking around, it seemed like everywhere I went had a sign, Marin Organic.
Well, not quite everywhere, unfortunately, yet. But yes, it's a great movement. It's a movement fueled by some of the most innovative and progressive thinkers and doers in Marin. And we are really fortunate because it's an extremely important movement, not just, you know, for the food shed you talked about, county line a little bit earlier. Yes, we have, you know, we have watersheds, we have food sheds, we have air sheds, and then there's this kind of seemingly arbitrary county line. But then when you look a little bit closer, actually, you know, from school policy to local legislation, it is defined by the county line.
Yeah.
And that's where Marin Organic is entirely focused on Marin. And yet we have become a model for the state and maybe even for the nation to some degree, even though there's lots of great work done everywhere. But yeah, it's an unusual constellation that we have in Marin, mm-hmm. with some of the most, you know, progressive producers producing outstanding food. You know, we have award-winning cheeses right 10 miles from here, with Sue Conley and Cowgirl Creamery, and we have the first dairy, organic dairy west of the Mississippi with Strauss.
Absolutely.
We have the oldest organic farm in the state of California that has been certified for 30 years. That's Star Root, mm-hmm. yeah. And so
the first blue cheese in California.
That's right, yes.
So the Point Reyes blue cheese.
Yes, Point Reyes blue. The Giacomini is amazing. And it's not just the product and it's not just the people, but it's the combination of the two, that it's no coincidence. These are... Mm-hmm. you know, people dedicated and in love with their land and their product and with what they do. And it comes through to everything you eat and hear and see from them and taste from them. It's remarkable.
And when we were talking, I was doing the feature story for the Press Democrat, and we were talking, some of the statistics I get, some of the numbers you gave me were really astonishing. Did you say all of the small farms, all the small family farms, or that grow vegetables and things, they're all organic?
Well, the vegetables, maybe with the exception of one or two who are in the process now of becoming certified. But yes, that's true. Basically all vegetables grown in the county in Marin are certified organic. And we have, you know, we have McEvoy olive oil, and we have cheeses, and we have, of course, livestock, like meat and dairy production.
Meat and dairy, that takes up about 40% of Marin agriculture, right?
It's the largest piece in terms of, it depends on if you talk about acreage or dollars. It is, okay. It's clearly the largest piece. Uh-huh. By far, dairy is, and then, you know, livestock, and then we have oysters. So there's there are many different aspects of agriculture in Marin, but yeah, livestock is the largest piece, hands down. And there are many dairies that you know, have not chosen to be organic or to go organic yet, or they might never, and that's fine. You know, it's really an invitation. You know, when we talk about an organic county, it's not an exclusive in any way or a mandatory concept. It's an invitation. We are losing 400 family farms in the United States every week. Mm-hmm. That's 56 farms a day. So by the time the show is done, we lost two farms forever. And it's not just the production that we're losing. We're losing the cultural heritage. We're losing, you know, history. We are losing communities with that. The health of a community is based on our relationship to the land and to the soil. Mm-hmm. And so when we lose a farm, we lose a piece of ourselves, literally. And, you know, from food security to education opportunities to bringing leftover food, seconds that don't quite meet market requirements, to schools, which is what Marin Organic does. Mm-hmm. We're able to feed 12,000 children every week with that. If you lose the farms, you lose access to all of it. It's the plethora of opportunities, and we must build societies from the ground up, literally. And the farmer tells the story of the land the best because he lives with it and mm-hmm. works with it every day.
Yeah, that was one of the other numbers that impressed me. Well, first of all, the bad news of 56 farms a day. But Marin is adding, what did you say, 5 or 6 farms a year?
Yeah, there's new acreage popping up. We have Marin Roots, Jesse Kuhn, a young farmer, you know, in his mid-30s, who just leased out another 20 acres of previously not certified organic land, and that's now a certified organic plot. So it's beautiful how we increase diversity. And again, when we talk about an organic county, it's an invitation to agricultural producers because Marin Organic believes that the future is in value-added, story-added, you know, really having a story of the food that we then ingest, and we become that story in a way, to, you know, highly diversified operations. And it's relationship marketing. It's really, we are at the heart of the Bay Area with 8 million people, and luckily really highly educated and eco-literate, and they know why it makes sense to spend 50 cents more on a head of lettuce, because you get thousands and thousands of dollars of value, keeping the dollar in the local community, healthier watershed, healthier water, healthier soil, healthier air, like everything in regard to health and well-being and how we flourish as a community comes down to local agriculture in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's an invitation to agriculture producers. And that said, if you don't want to go organic or be organic and it works for you, that's perfect. Ideally, we have, you know, a system or a world where we don't need to verify with a third-party certification agency that your methods are actually what the consumer wants, but we don't live in that world. Mm-hmm. Food is shipped on average between, you know, 1,200 and 2,000 miles. And not everything you even buy at a farmer's market is really local. You know, if there are farmer's markets that have a policy of 200 miles, well, in a global economy, it's considered local. But if you take, you know, 400 farmers coming to a market from an average of 100 miles, that's round trip 200 miles, that's 80,000 food miles driven for every farmer's market. So when we talk about local, we really, it's important, I think, nowadays that we differentiate and are really clear and really specific what that means, and how local is local, and then not to get hung up on if it's not grown here, then what are we going to do? Well, local is also in your heart, and if we need to bring in coffee, for example, why don't we have an ecotourism concept around that? You know, the city of or the county of Marin, there's no reason, just like Berkeley did, that every public coffee has to be organic. We could say anything that doesn't grow in Marin or cannot be produced in Marin for one reason or another, we need to bring in, but we shouldn't lose the story, because that's the value. It's the cultural exchange.
And there'd be, so, I think, I can just imagine some really interesting ways to enhance that story, perhaps. You know, for a long time, the whole sister city thing, adopting cities.
Beautiful. It doesn't mean anything really, right? If you go into the daily nitty-gritty and travel, and could you list all the sister cities of the city of Sebastopol? No, we couldn't. Yeah. So
do something. That's right. Drink coffee, adopt the sister city that's a city that's in the heart of the coffee production region, that sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, because it's really called, trade. The idea of trade was not just bringing products from A to B. It was the unknown. It was the learning, the desire of expanding your horizon and then getting intrigued and eventually traveling there maybe one day and seeing other cultures and other stories. And everything we expose ourselves to will expand our awareness of our place. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you don't have that, then you have no relation of where you are and what you do really, that's really special in the context of something bigger than us. And the world is a fascinating place, and I'm absolutely not against trade or nor Marin Organic, even though of course with an organization we are focused on Marin and what we produce there, but the solutions must be based on the heart. This is not an environmental crisis that we are facing. It's a spiritual crisis. We have completely become isolated from the outside world and trade. You know, we ship one thing to five different continents, not just countries, but continents, in order to bring it back and then sell it in the U.S. market. And that needs to stop. It doesn't work. It only works because it's subsidized and we're paying for it, and it causes environmental degradation, and we are losing the cultural part of it.
There's a mouthful for you. You're listening to Mouthful on this wonderful rainy night. My guest, Helga Hellberg, executive director, the only executive director of Marin Organic. That's right. You've been held that position from the beginning, right?
Yeah, not because I'm wonderful, just because by default I was the first person to hire. They hired, and I happened to get the title executive director. And the lines are very blurry. I'm working with an amazing staff, and actually, the majority are women, and when you work with women, the lines of who's in charge get blurry anyways. Our success is based on lots of good heads.
Mm-hmm. When were you founded?
Well, it became a nonprofit in 1999. We received 501c3 status, which means tax-exempt status, that year, and then had kind of a project person who half-time or so, who was able to sell the idea of an organic county the vision to a couple of foundations who pitched in a little bit of money. And then in 2004, there was about $60,000 in the bank, and the organization thought it was a good time to hire staff now and really, hit the ground running, because the timing was right. And I had just finished a four-year job with CCOF, California Certified Organic Farmers, during which time the federal law was released, the National Organic Program. So all of a sudden, it was not up to individual certifiers anymore to come up with standards, but suddenly we had a federal standard not so subtly actually, because you know we had been working on this. Mm-hmm. People had been working on this for over a decade, and they had used CCUF's standards to a large portion. But suddenly, whatever you sold in the United States, it doesn't have to be grown here, had to meet these federal standards and these federal criteria, even if it was grown in China. And people often, you know, mix up, think that it's a U.S. standard. Well, it's a U.S. standard for the marketplace, not necessarily for just how it's grown. It could be grown in another country, mm-hmm. and yet you still have to comply. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they have inspectors or other agencies in those countries that are checked up on how they're doing it. And basically you get certified once a year, inspected once a year, and then you can sell it. If you meet those federal guidelines, you can sell your product here in the U.S. if you want to. Mm-hmm. As organic. So any product in the U.S. that has the organic claim has to meet those federal standards. And because of that, suddenly there were larger companies. The market really grew from, you know, 80 million or so in the 80s to then all of a sudden we reached $1 billion in food sales, which mm-hmm. is a fraction if you look at the overall food market of, you know, $500 billion. But it was the fastest growing segment, and ever since the 80s, it has been the fastest growing segment. Mm-hmm. of the food world, the organic market, that is. And so in 2004, when Marin Organic felt it was the right time to hire staff, for me, I'd kind of become a little bit disheartened by big industry coming in, and I saw the movement splitting between the movement, between the people that started it, that mm-hmm. were dedicated to the land, and companies who you know, wanted to do maybe the right thing or wanted to have a foot in that market door. And so mid-sized organic companies were bought up, and suddenly we were exporting organic foods to other countries and bringing similar food back from those countries mm-hmm. to California. And I thought this is not... I still was searching for my roots, mm-hmm. literally, in depth. And so I came to Marin Organic, and it felt like an overripe tomato, or like a perfectly ripe tomato. It didn't matter if you wanted to make margarita or ketchup. It was just the perfect idea at the perfect place at the right time. So mm-hmm. it was an easy choice. And you know, I feel like I have been paid for the last 4 years studying relationships, studying mm-hmm. our relationship to the land, to soil, to myself, to how other people manifest. We manifest in the presence of others, and so you better choose well who you surround yourself That's with, different. And I got so lucky in Marin. It's incredible.
Uh-huh. And one thing I'm curious about, how is the political structure of Marin, the Board of Supervisors and other agencies, how have they responded to this whole movement?
Yeah.
The local movement.
Well, Marin Organic has a board of directors, of course, mm-hmm. Half of which have to be Marin-based producers. That's our kind of policy. And then, mm-hmm. MALT, Marin Agricultural Land Trust, you know, started in the 70s, late 70s, to protect agricultural lands. Mm-hmm. And that was critical to prevent any development in West Marin. And it's the mm-hmm. the oldest land trust in the nation, and they do fabulous work. What was not addressed directly, though, until Marin Organic really came about, was economic viability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be as sustainable as you want to. If you can't make a living as a farmer and on small acreage, it became increasingly difficult to do that. You will be out of business. It doesn't matter what you do. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly with Marin Organic and giving the leverage of, county support and having staff that works on behalf of farmers, so to say, directly, as if you're a member of Marin Organic, you know, you get thousands and thousands of dollars of value out of that membership through marketing, through media exposure, through farm tours, we are a service agency for the farmer, basically, mm-hmm. and we just promote and tell the story that the farmer tells us, mm-hmm. basically, and give the farmer the opportunity and the venues to tell more stories and really to say how it is, because there's nothing really, I mean, it is romantic to be a farmer, but it's not really. If you think about the easy life, don't mm-hmm. become a farmer.
It's hard work.
It's the hardest I would never even consider. It's like getting up at the crack of dawn, getting to bed at 10, never knowing, you know, when the rain hits and what's coming, and season and hard work and machinery breaks down and constant marketing pressure. And then when you think you have it figured out, you learn that everything is off and you had a frost and your whole crops gets wiped out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have Stubbs Vineyard. They got hit last year with a freeze in whatever it was when the buds were already out in April.
April and even early May. There was
not enough water because what you do usually, you spray water onto your buds and you can build a little igloo, a little mm-hmm. cocoon, and it's just a few tenths of a degree, but it actually lets the little bud survive. Mm-hmm. And there was no water to do that. So yeah. they literally lost, I think, 90%, basically the entire harvest for that year. So last year there was no wine to be harvested. And the year before was a record harvest. Mm-hmm. So you're just, I couldn't deal with that. It's, I mean, in a way, we all are actually dealing with it as eaters, as co-producers, mm-hmm. as consumers. But the person that tells the story the most, because he or she has to deal with this every day and choose to, is the farmer. And so with Marin Organic, there's this, you know, really tightly run support organization that and we are not doing it alone. You're right. We have the county, the board of supervisors. Mm-hmm. Our supervisor, Steve Kinsey, for West Marin, is completely in line with that and understands the importance of our... Yeah, it's
great.
Amazing. We have Stacy Carlson, arguably one of the most progressive agricultural commissioners that we have in the nation, mm-hmm. I would say. He's delightful to work with, all his staff, his inspectors for the organic section. And then we have, you know, more than a handful or two handfuls of like-minded organizations who deal with food from one way, from one angle or another, from mm-hmm. education, schools, kids, to malt, of course, farmers market. So we have, you know, there's a really big support net for local farmers that they can fall into, mm-hmm. which is great.
Stubbs Vineyards, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Organic vineyard.
Yes.
Organic winery.
So right now, it's the only uh-huh. certified organic vineyard in the county. We uh-huh. have a few.
About how many wineries are there in Marin now? About seven?
Yes,
eight?
Seven or eight. Uh-huh. And, you know, when we say they're not organic, it doesn't mean that they don't do an excellent job, and even some of them might comply with organic standards. So whether or not you're a dairy or whether or not you're a vineyard, if you're not organic, most of the producers out in West Marin could be considered sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, the consumer, I mean, who knows all of your consumers so well that what the consumer thinks is healthy is actually what the producer exactly does. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that, if you're not at the farm every day, then the way to verify it is by having somebody verify it for you. Mm-hmm. And so we see the organic certification as the baseline of agreement between our producers and between the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we add things like, you know, Salmon Safe. We have a program that goes far beyond the farm gate.
Salmon Safe, talk a little bit about that.
Well, there are certain things in the organic rule that could be improved. It's a really good food law because it's the only one we have. And mm-hmm. when you see the news and it says organic uses raw manure, well, that's true. But the full truth is it's completely regulated. It's 90 days for crops that touch the ground and 120 days for crops that don't touch the ground. So you actually, you know, you give pathogens enough time to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of the full truth is that non-organic agriculture uses raw manure too, and mm-hmm. there's no regulation whatsoever.
So, okay.
So the possible chance for contamination is way higher.
Mm-hmm.
So the organic rule, as perfect or imperfect as it might seem in parts, is the only food law we have, and mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of hours have been dedicated to developing it, and it's something we really need to hold on to, and then we can add whatever is important
on
to
top
us.
Of that.
That's right. So Salmon Safe is a program that addresses riparian habitat and makes sure that mm-hmm. the salmon can come back.
And how is that certified that someone's... Is there a certifying agency that,
yes,
that takes care of
Salmon Safe? We are administering that, actually.
You are?
We have
okay.
independent inspectors, uh-huh. and we don't even see the report. That it's completely verified by a third party that we hire, so that there's no conflict of interest, mm-hmm. of course. And they go to the farm, just like with organic, and make sure there's no massive erosion, if enough setbacks. If you're organic, of course, you're already in a good position to qualify. But, you know, salmon is important, not just because it's an important fish to have. It's really, salmon kind of symbolize the health of a watershed or mm-hmm. of the ecology of a place. So it's important, and people are aware of that now. And right now, for example, if we don't have salmon come up the creek, we don't have them in the ocean, right? They do need to spawn and lay their eggs, and then they die. So if you don't get the offspring, right now we have a salmon crisis all the way up and down the coast. There's no local salmon this year. So that's an indicator that soil health and how we deal with soil and what's our relationship to it will affect, of course, air as well as water health as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, everything starts from literally from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. And it's all interconnected in every way. And how could it not be? How do you talk to people who have that disconnect that so many people have that, you know, I need to go buy this whatever, chicken, salmon, beef, anything at a big discount store because it tastes good. It says it's organic. I don't know where it comes from, but I can't afford to think about that. How do we breach that disconnect?
I'm usually at Costco stabbing tires. No.
there's a way.
No.
I have never been to a Walmart. I have never been inside a Walmart, and I've never eaten at McDonald's. So there's two of my contributions.
Yeah.
And I don't go to Costco either.
That's good. I have, and I think it's important that we do those things to find our true calling, you know? Like, I ate at McDonald's 25 years ago. And I wouldn't anymore. But so having done it or not, I think it's, for me, it's enriching my experience. So maybe one day you want to call me up and we go to Walmart. It's pretty depressing, just the light if you... But it's, you know, what's important in this movement is that we actually don't go down that path. It's important, you know, when people visit Marin Organic or Marin County, they might not be able to adopt anything we do and go home. And we have guests from Europe, or, you know, next Friday we're hosting a Chinese governmental group.
Yeah, people are really coming
high ranking,
all over to
all
study
the time.
What
yeah,
you
we have,
do.
Literally, we have guests every 2 weeks or, you know, at least once a month of... and then little tours of people who just are interested in it, but like, you know, kind of higher ranking governmental officials or authors, or we hosted the Prince of Wales, of course,
right,
2 years
yes,
ago.
That,
and
yes.
So that was a big deal for us that really brought Marin Organic and Marin County into the limelight. I think the comparable advertisement time of how much media exposure we got was in the ballpark of $30 million. We had,
wow.
Yeah, we have 5 hours of national footage of TV, of clips.
That much?
Yeah.
Wow.
And unfortunately, we hired a clipping service to collect them, which is pretty expensive, so it almost broke us. It was a big mistake. Anyway, live and learn. So when what these people can take home is the sense of hope, and I feel like, you know, Obama took that from us a little. There's this yes we can attitude that we have in Marin County, and it's really a county of hope. It's a county of where we see the interconnectedness. We use resources that are considered waste, not just in a way of putting them somewhere else, but really thinking what's the best use of this? Not just how can we make use of it, but what's the best use? How can we get the most bang for the buck for these zucchini? And instead of bringing them to a food bank, which is great and important work, we bring them to schools and use the schools' tight budgets to then have them buy additional organic food from our member farms. So schools can stay within their budget, farmers can sell to schools for the very first time, and we're able again to address 12,000 kids with that every week. And then there's still, you know, other food that we can bring to food banks, and I'm not saying that's not important, but...
schools are often... overlooked, you know, they're often
well,
missed
it's
in the
our
equation.
Kids, that's right. And
yeah.
if you, and
we
if
should
you,
be feeding them the best there is.
Yes, as we should, you know, with people who can't afford any food whatsoever.
Yeah.
But only because we keep farms economically viable are we able to even have access to any of this. Mm-hmm. So if we just give resources away without thinking about the best use, we don't get the most out of it. And it's important that we do, that we use it every resource as carefully as we possibly can. And so when we have groups visiting, it's really what they can take home, and you can see it in their eyes after, you know, a day of walking the farm and me talking about it, that they are glowing. They are so inspired. And so when we talk about Walmart, it's important that we for me, it's important that I don't even go there. Marin Organic is not focused on what's not working. Mm-hmm. And when I say, you know, 400 family farmers die every week, okay, that's a statistic. I'm... nobody can comprehend 700 million pounds of pesticides or synthetic fertilizers used in the U.S. every year. It's like a, you know, it's kind of, it, you're getting quickly into this argument of, well, we have more data of how bad it is and what shouldn't be. Well, it is, right?
So what'll make it work?
That's right. What's the most inspiring and empowering thing that you can do in your life so that you recognize your once in a lifetime, literally, you know, in 20 million years, you have never been here before. None of the listeners in 20 million years, nobody has ever who listens here or here in the studio has been on this planet before. And the full story is you will never be here again. So you are an absolute miracle in creation, right? Just in 20 million years, comprehend the circumstances that made you sit here tonight in the studio with me. It's a miracle. It's an absolutely absolute miracle. And depending on the age of our listeners, we have maybe, you know, 40 springs left in our lives. So maybe 60, but it's a snapshot in time. And so not just that it's a constitutional right, but the one thing, the one responsibility to not stop the evolution of this planet that we have in this life is to be happy, actually. And so, you know, in the organic movement, because we work with nature, there's a lot of anger often, and it's justified by working on behalf of nature. And there's no place of for anger in, and I'm not saying, you know, there's no place for anger. If you're angry, you're angry. But for me, I found it not empowering to be in that space.
It's sort of paralyzing.
Absolutely, because it's fear, right? Love and fear. So anger is just another expression of fear. And if in the heart of your expression of anger is actually that fear, fear is never empowering. It might help you survive for a certain situation, but in the long run, what I have found, I'm meeting God in my work every day. It's so empowering. I can't wait to go to work. We're not getting paid enough, clearly, as a nonprofit. We're feeling the economic stress. You know, it's trickling down to nonprofits everywhere. I actually know of a couple of nonprofits that couldn't make it in the last 6 months. So public support is critical in this work. And yet, I wouldn't choose for a second any other job. It's you know, it's what grabs me every day. I can see what we are changing. I can see the people who come and visit. I can taste cheese from Cowgirl Creamery that tastes different in spring than it does in fall because the grass has changed. And, oh, my God, now after 4 years, I am all those stories. My body, physically, you know, eating that, whatever you put in your mouth is in your body in a heartbeat. And literally, actually, in one heartbeat, in seconds, in your bloodstream, becomes cellularly you. So I'm this being comprised of these stories of this work that these farmers are doing. That's I'm pretty blessed. And so being in that position and opportunity to help others partake in that is really what fuels me in this work. So if somebody needs to go to Walmart and he or she can truly say they are happy doing it, more power
to them.
Yeah. It's not my job to say you shouldn't. We should we should a lot on us in this society.
Yes.
There's too much shooting.
Yes, we do get a lot of that. But I do think that there's a bridge, that there are bridges waiting to be built.
And you are doing it.
Conversational bridges.
Yes.
So that if someone hasn't considered this other, somebody, and I often feel really sad when I walk through a grocery store. And I'll tell just a little story. I was speaking with Kathleen Weber of Della Fattoria Bakery, a fine, fine bakery. And we were talking about bread and the economics of bread and how hard it has been for bakers. And one of the things, wheat, organic wheat from Canada and the United States has gone up in price hugely. Della Fattoria has cut their production by a huge amount. Their way of dealing with it is to lower their expenses, lower their production. One of the reasons the price has soared so much is a lot of organic wheat is going to China to be used to make crackers that are then imported, brought back to the United States and sold in Walmart. And people who don't have the luxury of paying attention, like I get paid to do work I'm really interested in. You know, I can make a living thinking about these things. But somebody who's, you know, they're working a lot, they're feeding their kids, they're worrying about everything, and they know that it's better to see that organic label on something. They don't necessarily have time to know what it means, made in China, and the way that that's affecting the farmers and the bakers here.
Yes.
So it's that conversation, and I often wonder, how do you reach people who don't have the luxury of time to think about these things?
Well, you're doing it tonight. It's really, it takes the, you know, daily conviction. And I don't think there's anyone who can come to a Marin Organic Farm tour who will not change his or her way of purchasing and of living. And it might be tiny. When people always ask me, what's the most important thing to do? I would say, well, pick what you love the most to eat or to drink and start there, because that's eventually what you will consume the most. And and the organic food movement, it's even though we are talking about food, and of course Marin Organic is food-based, it has in a way nothing to do with food. It's about local. It's local living economies, and that starts from the ground up, and food production is arguably the most critical part in that as the first step. But it's, yes, you're right. It's the people who then use the food. It's local restaurants. You know, Marin Organic has a supporting business membership program. Talk about community support, where the restaurants are dedicated and committing to buying as much as they can from Marin County and from our farmers. And so when you go there, you are literally voting with your dollar. And if you buy a bread at local organic bakeries and owner-owned and operated, you know, every dollar spent locally gets circulated 7 or 8 more times before it actually leaves the county. And so your $1 has the purchasing power of $8. So if we spend $1 million on food a month as a community, it actually has the economic power of $8 million, because they will hire local labor. They will, it just trickles down within the county until it gets spent outside. But you need to pick people up where they are, honestly. You know, there is an absolutely growing awareness, and shows like this one and, you know, the book that you're looking at, Organic Marin, here, that's put together by Marin Magazine. It's in every part of society now, that need and desire for change, because it's based on truth. And that's something that's just undeniable. It's that, you know, when you were 6 years old and you knew there was truth, and then you learned, well, it depends on who has the better arguments. No. It's not true. I'm finding again, there is that sense of truth that is just undeniable, has nothing to do with statistics and how bad it is. It's beautiful. It tastes better. You know the owner. Even if you don't know any of the story around it, it's just when you stop and pay attention, it adds so much value to your life. So people are waking up to that. There's a growing awareness. And it's incredible to be then that appreciated.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago Marin Farm Tours, and this hour is flying by as I knew it would. Talk about the Marin Organic Farm Tours and how people, let's start sending people to
the sources of information. So if, you know,
you had one this morning?
Yeah. Where? At Red Hill Farms. It's a lamb operation just around the corner from here on the Marin-Sonoma border. And, you know, this guy, Don Gilardi, he was in real estate, and I think he's thinking now of giving it up, not just because of the macroeconomic situation, but Don Gilardi and Red Hill Farms, he had his first flock of 40 or 50 lambs last year, and he pre-sold out before the first one was born, because restaurants were so had such a desire to buy his product, and so now his herd is 3 times as large, and he uses the wool to make his own organic bedding comforters. And so and his attitude is just so positive, and the product is amazing, and I sleep with it every night. It's phenomenal. And you know the name of the sheep that you sleep with. And so it's like, you know, some people might think it's over the top, but it's,
I think that's wonderful.
Else do we have in life? You know, there's your dog and your friends and your partner, and then there's the sheep that gave its wool, and it's, oh my God, it's so sweet and so touching. So, yes, marinorganic.org is the website.
And there's consumer-level memberships. You can actually
get
involved.
Right. Yes, and we do need that support big time, as most nonprofits or any nonprofit right now is struggling. So are we. And I would always say, wherever you're listening to, I know it's streaming online, and if you're on the East Coast or wherever, you know, you don't need to donate to Marin Organic, but it's this Give Me Five campaign. If, you know, if we have, right now it's about diversification. If this crisis has taught us anything, or ecology has taught us anything, it's about as diverse as you can possibly be with your investments, with your money, with so for us, that, you know, $20 from 1,000 people, it's $20,000. It will pay for a staff person for half a year, which then buys mm-hmm. us enough time to do other things that can make money. So it's critical that we get, you know, any amount is not mm-hmm. too little, of course. And community will save us right now in this crisis.
Yeah. And the farm tours, you can find out about when the farm tours are scheduled and that sort of thing at
everything,
the website.
Yeah, there's tons of information for our program, school lunch program, farm tours coming up, different membership levels. You can see all the farmers, all the supporting restaurants.
You have great stories about the farmers on that website. I was mesmerized by that. They're so detailed, intimate. I love how you have everything that they grow. I discovered a lot of people, like County Line Farm. I love County Line Farm. The greens that they grow.
And David Retzky, yes, great guy also in his 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know,
young guys.
While we're losing farms, to have young farmers come in who actively choose. They're not even, haven't even inherited this land, right? They're choosing out of college to become a farmer. That's
And
as
some of them are just leasing
as it
land.
Gets. That's right.
Yeah, they don't even own the land.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's phenomenal. They need our support. If you see them at the farmer's market, differentiate between, you know, what's really grown truly locally from Marin, if you want to support Marin's farmers.
And that is easy to see at the Marin County Farmer's Market, which is a great farmer's market. You just look for the very obvious, very well-done Marin Organic
Thank you.
Sign. They, you know, so many of the stalls have that. And on that note, we are out of time. But I do want to tell you, Thursdays and Sundays are the Marin Farmer's Market. And, you know, local, 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 absolutely. I'm such a huge fan and cheerleader for Sonoma County. But Marin County is okay, too. You know,
good, thank you.
No, I mean, we're
this
all in this together.
That's
it's
right.
not a competition.
Not at all.
You're not being disloyal by getting to
not
know the
all.
Farms of
no.
Marin. And, you know, there's a lot to be learned from the way, from what Marin Organic and what the community has done. I mean, just saving Tomales Bay from having a freeway and a city of 100,000 people, which was planned in the 70s.
Yes.
So we come back. We didn't have enough time.
I know, never, but it's great. Thank you.
Yeah, come back sometime.
Keep looking for stories. It's good. Thank you.
Helga Hellberg of Marin Organic, thanks so much for tuning in. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Have a great week.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes. Listen to